If America is going to ever be turned around to get back on the right track, then surely there must be major changes in our educational system at virtually every level. To talk about that right now is Dr. Carol M. Swain, who used to teach at Vanderbilt Law School and at Princeton. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And if you enjoy some of the movies of Dinesh D'Souza, as I do, I'm sure you've seen Dr. Carol M. Swain. And speaking of movies, she's in a new documentary as a guest, and the new documentary is called Whose Children Are They? All about education. So, Dr. Swain, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, and I'd also like to announce that I am now a senior distinguished fellow with the Texas Public Policy Foundation.
Oh, okay, and what's that?
It's a conservative think tank in Texas.
Okay, great. All right, so let's get a global question here with a global type answer. What's wrong with education today? Just kind of a general starting point.
Well, education in America today has clearly been taken over by the wrong types of people, in particular, people that have a political agenda that's very anti-American, anti-Constitution, and I would say anti-civil rights, because much of what they push runs counter to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, as well as the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I just heard a statistic the other day from a book, an audio book by Newt Gingrich, and there was a poll where 91% of Americans, all Americans, agree with Dr. Martin Luther King's idea that people should be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. And yet much of the teaching in schools today actually runs counter to that very excellent idea from Dr. King.
Ibram Kendi, the scholar who has received so much attention for his, quote, anti-racism activities, makes the argument that to combat racism, you have to become consciously racist for the most part. And he supports racism in favor of the groups that have been historically marginalized.
So, okay, so in other words, the whole idea of a quota system never ends in a sense, I guess. Is that right?
Well, I mean, people on the left, many of them support racial discrimination as long as it benefits their group.
Yeah. Okay, so what exactly is a critical race theory? And I assume you oppose it along the lines of what we've just been talking about, that it promotes, in effect, racism, a form of racism, while claiming to oppose racism.
Well, I mean, critical race theory is a worldview, a philosophy that's rooted in Marxism. It argues that America, you know, has racism in its DNA, and that white people have set up an oppressive system to keep other groups marginalized. That's part of what they argue. And critical race theory itself divides the world into the white oppressors and the minority victims. It argues that all white people, regardless of where they came from, when they came to America, their family situations, that they benefit from undeserved they reap undeserved rewards because of the color of their skin. And this would be something that, you know, most people intuitively would know is wrong. Critical race theory would argue that the white male from Appalachia, whose parents may not have finished the second grade, who may be living in a shack in the hollow, has white privilege, and that all white people are guilty of racism. They're guilty of racism just by being born into the white race. And so this is something that is racism itself. It also argues by extension that racial and ethnic minorities are victims, and that white people must engage in activities to become consciously anti-racist. So it puts the burden of combating racism on one group. Any thinking person knows that racism can be practiced by any racial and ethnic group, and it's not something that white people own. Some of the most egregious cases of racism that we hear about often today come from African Americans, people of color.
Would the people who espouse critical race theory not acknowledge that there have been major improvements in racial relationships in America? I mean, haven't...
It's not to their benefit. It's not to their benefit to acknowledge the progress that's taken place.
Yeah.
And what is very disheartening is that some of the people who have benefited the most from the changes that have taken place in our society since the Civil Rights Act of 1964 would be the loudest voices claiming that America is as racist today as it's ever been and that nothing has changed. Wow. And that the country is systemically racist. So they totally discount the passage of the Civil Rights Acts as well as the enormous strides that we've made in America that resulted in a black president being elected twice, you know, three attorney generals. All of these things discount it.
That's crazy. And even just anecdotally, I went to see a doctor today, my doctor, and she's a black woman. I don't even think in those terms. I was at the gym yesterday morning, and as I look around the gym, I see white people, I see black people working out. Nobody even thinks about those things. And yet when you hear Dr. King's speech from 1973, I Have a Dream, you know, he talks about how wonderful it would be if his little children, you know, could get along with little white children or whatever, you know, and honestly, much of what he said has, the positive parts have come true. So I don't understand why people want to just keep fighting this and in effect making it much worse.
Well, according to the critical race theorists, the very fact that you as a white person would argue that you don't see race, that would be evidence, you know, of your white fragility or your state of being unwoke. Because apparently when you become woke, you're able to see society for what it is. And to them, everything revolves around racism. Or if you're a homosexual, they have, you know, critical queer theory. There's critical feminist theory. And so critical queer theory in the same way would characterize all heterosexuals as oppressors and all homosexuals as victims. Critical feminist theory, all women are victims, all males are oppressors. And so all of these theories are critical theories that emanate from Marxism and postmodernism, and their only purpose is to disrupt our society. These theories have been around for decades, but they have really permeated the K-12 educational system in recent years. And in my book, Black Eye for America, How Critical Race Theory is Burning Down the House, a book that was published last year and is a bestseller.
Congratulations.
It's co-authored, and it explains what critical race theory is, where it came from, how it manifests itself in our society, and why it's anti-Christian, it's anti-American, and it's anti-Constitution. And that book has a section on, really two chapters, on how to fight back against critical race theory, because there's so many parents and policymakers and teachers who are looking for answers, and they know that there's something terribly wrong in this nation when you have children who are bullied and shamed because of the color of their skin. That's not something that we normally do in America.
Wow. Is there hope for turning this around? And if so, how? Can you summarize maybe some of the points made in that chapter, Black Eye for America?
Well, I can tell you that there is hope for turning it around, and it's already happening because parents have awakened and they have stood up to fight back. And I can tell you that a couple of years ago when I was talking about a critical race theory and what was taking place, a lot of white parents were afraid to speak up because they thought their children would be singled out and punished. And what we have found is that parents have united across racial lines, across partisan lines, across nationalities, because there are many immigrants that are leading the movement, many black people fighting back against critical race theory because they know it's harmful to their children. It tells lies to black people about the possibilities in America. It tells them that they are a victim and that racism is permanent. And if something is permanent, there's nothing you can do about it. And the American dream that I have been able to achieve and millions of other people, white, black, every nationality, have come to America or were born in America, and they were able to overcome the circumstances of their birth because America is that kind of country, we're telling our children lies about what's possible in America.
And you asked me about
how to fight back. One of the most important things I believe we say in our book is that you need to know what CRT is, because we find that as soon as parents start pressing decision makers or school boards, they will deny that whatever they're doing is CRT. And so people need to know what it is, where it came from, and how it impacts our society. And they have to challenge the legality and constitutionality of CRT in education and in the workplace. And I believe that's one of the strongest avenues for defeating critical race theory is the Constitution itself and our civil rights laws. They need to continue to organize. They need to build broad coalitions that cut across racial, ethnic, and partisan lines. They need to use multiple strategies. And they need to educate church leaders, because there are a lot of church leaders who don't understand critical race theory. And as a consequence, these church leaders and pastors, well-meaning, some of them are Southern Baptists, they are replacing biblical justice with social justice. And there's the corporations we need to stand up against, the big tech companies, the state and local agencies. And we have to have alternatives to diversity, equity, and inclusion training, because it's rooted in CRT and in Marxism. And so those are 10 proposals that are in my book for resisting CRT, the book Black Eye for America, How Critical Race Theory is Burning Down the House.
Who is your co-author on that book?
Christopher Shore. And he is a young man with a PhD in American government from Georgetown University.
Wow.
And he is the co-author.
Sure. Okay, we have about 1 minute left. Are you hopeful or pessimistic about the future? And let me just give you one quick anecdote. You mentioned the Constitution. It's interesting that one of the key founding fathers who just pushed for the founding, for the Constitution was James Madison. And he did own slaves, as did many other Virginians at that time, but he set up the framework by which one day it could be uprooted, and it was uprooted. But now the woke folk are coming for James Madison, too.
Well, they're coming for all the founding fathers, but I am optimistic because I believe that the American people are not represented by the people that are pushing the CRT, DEI, woke movement, and that they're rising up. And I believe that our Constitution and our civil rights laws are strong enough to defeat this crazy moment that we're living today in America.
Wow, what a great point to end on. Thank you so much, Dr. Carol M. Swain. The name of her book is Black Eye for America. And I'm sure at your website people could get more information on the book, right?
Yes, my website is bethepeoplenews.com, bethepeoplenews.com. And there are links on my website to television interviews, blogs, and also my books and my speaking schedule.
Okay, excellent. Dr. Carol M. Swain, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye now.